Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a, what is it, Thursday, Wednesday? I lose track of days. Another Laker loss, another day on the air. It's Wednesday. Welcome in. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. J-Mac is joining me. Peter Schrager in an hour, by the way. Some updates on some coaching moves. Some big things brewing and rather quickly in NFL circles, including our Sean Payton. We'll get to that. You watched the first half last night of that Clipper-Lakers game. Clippers had 77 points in the first half. If you took LeBron out of the game, the next 7 to 8 best players were all Clippers. All of them.
I don't want to start too hot, Colin, but it's time to trade Russell Westbrook. Let's get him out of here. Let's bring in Zach LaVine, Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, whoever you can do, bring him in, because you can't play Russ against these really good teams. You just can't.
You can't. Yeah. So LeBron had 46. It was one of LeBron's best shooting nights, perhaps ever. He's going to be the scoring champ of the entire league's history in about 6 games. He's 178 points shy of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So the next 2 weeks, it's the pursuit. But I thought last night was, it perfectly represented what his mogul stage, what Los Angeles, his Laker career has represented. LeBron gets the headline, 46 points. Lakers lose, and he's not to blame for any of it. It's been great for his brand here. He got a title. He's become a billionaire. He's going to be the scoring king. None of it's his fault. Oh, he had to inherit Luke Walton and all those young guys that couldn't play. Not his fault. Frank Vogel, more of a defensive coach. Not his fault. Anthony Davis hurt again. Not his fault. Front office not respected. Ownership, the kids of the late, great Jerry Buss. Not his fault. This has been perfect. If you look at Peyton Manning's ending, he fell apart physically. Shaq, Michael Jordan, a mess. Even Tom Brady this year, personal, professional, clunky. This has been ideal because LeBron's criteria has changed, and it's not his fault. It used to be a guaranteed trip to the finals. Now it's guaranteed excellence on a nightly basis. He still remains on any given night as good as any player in this league, not named Giannis. So there's always been 3 stages for superstars in professional basketball. The first stage, LeBron got an A+, was the show-off stage. Michael Jordan scoring 60, Kobe scoring 80, the early stages of that career. Look how great I am. LeBron chasing people down the floor and blocking the shot off the backboard. Remember, he used to do that all the time. That's a show-off stage. The second stage is, I'm on a good team. I want to be on a great team and win championships. Sometimes you sacrifice something. LeBron moves. A-plus for that. Got to the Heat to the finals. Four straight years. 1-2. And the third stage, and almost all of them do this, it's the mogul stage for NBA stars, which is I've got to monetize my brand. Michael Jordan, going to go to Washington, want to own a team. It's not about winning. If you win, it's great. But it's really about monetizing your brand. He's done A-plus. All three stages. Endings for superstars, either you're getting the blame or you're falling apart or it's sad. This is elegant. He's going to be the all-time scoring champ. He's not getting hurt. Actually, Anthony Davis's injury sort of helps him. He was averaging 26 a night with AD. AD gets hurt. He's up to 35 a night. He's had to carry more of the load. I mean, if you're watching that game last night, take LeBron off the floor. The next seven best players in uniform, all Clippers. AD, not his fault. By the way, you can say, well, what about Westbrook? LeBron wanted Westbrook. Well, the GM pulled the trigger, and Westbrook, because of his style of play, nobody's blaming LeBron for Westbrook. LeBron's the best player on the floor last night. Westbrook's been, for years, a bad half-court player. Take out transition, that's why he struggles in the playoffs. You take out cheap buckets, Westbrook in the half-court set, where you've got to be efficient, good handle, shoot, defend, that's not what he does. So if you look at the endings for most athletes, it is really clunky. Not LeBron, great season, has his health, losing, takes none of the hits. Everybody else takes blame. So the LA move, has actually been just about ideal because the criteria has changed, right? Once you get this expensive, LeBron's not going to bounce around the country. He's got places in Beverly Hills. He's not bouncing around to Houston or Philadelphia. It's not what he's doing at this point. The criteria has changed. They lose. LeBron's great. The brand rises, monetizes it, and takes none of the hit. Here's LeBron after.
I don't know. We'll see when we get there. We'll see will it hit me. You know, just over the last few years, the last couple of years since we won a championship, just a lot of accomplishments been happening on losing effort. You know, so it's been very kind of difficult to kind of even digest some of my own accomplishments because I don't want to celebrate on losses.
All right. So in about 6-7 games, he's averaging about 28 to 30 here. 6 or 7 games, he's the all-time scoring champ. It's fascinating. Maybe tomorrow we'll look at that. When you look at the top 10 list of all-time scores, each one is sort of unique. You have power forwards. You have the sky hook. You have the relentless score, MJ. You've got the Swiss Army knife, LeBron, who's aging well. It's a lot of different games in the top 10 scoring list, and LeBron has certainly earned it. All right, so Aaron Rodgers, this is what I like. Aaron doesn't have the rancor or bitterness that Brett Favre had in the end in Green Bay. So it is now officially being acknowledged by Aaron and others. He is in the 50-50, they may trade me category. But again, unlike Favre, he's not bitter, he's not resentful, he's not angry. I like how that lands. He had a quote yesterday or the day before on the Pat McAfee show on YouTube where he said, listen, I get it if they want to move. I love the organization. I'd have no animosity. I love the city. I love the region. I'm a minority owner of the Bucks. I'm going to be part of the region long after I'm done playing. Got a lot of love for what's going on in Green Bay. I'd love to finish there. I would. I might have finished there. Who knows? What's interesting about this, and I think it's a 50-50 proposition, but usually when you have a divorce between team and star, one side has an advantage. And I think a lot of people would view this as, whoo, Green Bay would be in real trouble. This speaks to how well the Packers are run. They're in a very unique situation. The head coach is set. He's an offensive coach. The quarterback is in the building, knows the offense, ready to play, and the roster's mostly set. Here's a couple of other advantages for Green Bay. They had a rare bad season at 8-9, so they have a good draft spot, 15th. That's uniquely good for Green Bay. They're usually drafting at the bottom of round one, which if you talk to executives in this league, it's no man's land. the 23rd, the 28th. Those are second-round players you're paying first-round money to. The 15th pick is just on the edge of the last two or three really elite first-round bodies. Most NFL executives I've talked to think the first round has 16 to 18 first-round players. And then the next 30 to 40 feel like second-rounders. They'll play, chance of being a star early or less. But here's the other thing, is that if they just made a deal and just got one first-round pick for Aaron, my guess is they'd get two first-round picks, maybe a first, 2 seconds, a third. But let's say they just got one first-round pick. He is old. He's not committed in the offseason. And let's say it's a first and a third, but let's just concentrate on one first-round pick this year. Let's say it's Tennessee. Then they'd have the 11th pick and the 15th pick. Well, if you look at two of the three primary needs for Green Bay, go to your mock drafts. They're all over the internet. Every network's doing them, including this one. What they need, two of their first three needs are a tight end, another tight end, and another receiver. And the 11th pick would get them the first or second best receiver, Jordan Addison, and the 15th pick would probably get them the best tight end, a starter day one, Michael Mayer from Notre Dame. And then they have multiple picks beyond that to go find an edge rusher and another tackle. And Green Bay has a history of never drafting offensive linemen in the first round, and yet year after year having really good offensive lines. We thought it was going to be a down year for Green Bay's O-line. It wasn't. So it's a very unique situation. You've got your offensive coach. You've got your quarterback in the building. The division's still kind of wonky. Minnesota is not winning 11 straight one-score games. That's not happening. You can take five of those away. Last year, they lost them all. This year, they win them all. Somewhere in the middle, they'll regress to the mean. Chicago's still a disaster, and I like Detroit. But they're a better story than a team. They couldn't make the playoffs in the NFC. So I think they're in a very, very unique situation. Add this to Green Bay. They didn't make the playoffs. You don't have to bring the band back together. There's not like you're breaking up the Bulls here, right, with Jordan. There's animosity. Oh, my God, we got to run this back. Not really. Just got to get another tight end, another receiver, another edge rusher. That's what you need. So, I listen, if you can get Daniel Jones in a better division to the playoffs, you can't get in a rebuilding roster, you can't get Jordan Love. If they had a receiver, a tight end, and an edge rusher, Green Bay's uniquely in a good space. They really are. Is that if they just got a singular first-round pick, and they don't whiff on a lot of their first-round picks. Now, we haven't seen Jordan Love play, and they usually go defense with those picks. But if they've ever wanted to rip the Band-Aid off, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good time. I don't think this would be the classic quarterback leaves, crushes, and you're left holding the bag. I don't think that's the space for Green Bay. And the good news is, Aaron's not bitter. Favre certainly was.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it. $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species.
As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero Pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero Pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Former NFL executive Mike Tannenbaum, not a fan of Mike McCarthy, said yesterday on an ESPN program they should fire Mike McCarthy. So once again, Dallas is blaming the wrong person. Mike McCarthy won 12 games this year and 12 games last year, and Dak's been hurt for some of it. Dallas's issue is they pay Dak Prescott like Patrick Mahomes, and he's much closer to Kirk Cousins. They pay Zeke like a superstar, and he is now nothing more than a short yardage back. So Mike McCarthy either inherited these bad contracts or had no control over these bad contracts. They are trapped on those two deals. At least Dak can be productive. Zeke no longer is. So there are holes and bad contracts on the rosters, and there's not much he can do about it. And the Niners and the Eagles in the NFC, because they're not paying their quarterback anything yet, those guys are running it back. That Niner roster is not changing. That Eagles roster is not changing. You know, Kansas City had to get rid of Tyreek Hill and Ward the corner because they paid Mahomes. Hurts not making any money. Brock Purdy not making any money. So that those are two, you know, walls they're not getting through in the time being. So once again, they're blaming the wrong guy. Mike McCarthy's to me is not an elite coach, but he's capable and he is an offensive coach. He won with Cooper Rush. So what's interesting about that is in this story I'm reading this morning, Sean Payton's name is up for a lot of jobs, and the Dallas job, people view the Dallas job because Sean has a house there as something he'd be interested in. Number one is, I was talking to Matt Mosley, a reporter in Dallas, Jerry doesn't generally pay the coach big boy money. He doesn't love to do that. Sean Payton doesn't need the Cowboys brand to be elevated. He's considered the best coach on the market by a mile. He's like Harbaugh. He doesn't need his brand elevated. He has a sustained brand. The other thing is, you know, Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones want to control personnel. I'm not really sure that interests Sean Payton at all. And also, again, you walk in, the Zeke contract, the Dak contract, and there's holes on the roster that need filling, you may have to get a tight end because your productive tight end could be walking out as an unrestricted free agent. So Diana Russini is a reporter for ESPN. She used to work in the D.C. market. She has very, very good contacts with the Commanders people. She breaks a lot of stories there. So she had a tweet yesterday, which is very interesting. She said there's an unnamed team, quote, waiting in the wings and could get ducks in a row, potentially landing Sean Payton. Now, when she says that, a lot of people are like, oh, it could be the Cowboys. Let me throw out a team. Diana Russini has connections to Washington. Throw out Washington. Why? No bad contracts. They can cut Carson Wentz tomorrow. They have several great young players at key positions. Edge rusher, receiver, left tackle, running back. Key positions. They've got them. They need to upgrade the offensive line a little. They need a quarterback, Carr Garoppolo on the market. Taylor Heinicke and Sean Payton. I mean, Ron Rivera and Taylor Heinicke were competitive. What do you think he'd do with an offensive coach and all those young players getting better? So remember, March, when Diana Rossini says ducks in a row, does that mean my interpretation is ducks in a row is Washington by March getting their new owners? This is a city 30 years ago may have been the most rabid fan base in the league. Washington 30, 40 years ago, the waiting list for tickets was, you know, I remember watching Pat Summerall and years ago talk about, it was like thousands, tens of thousands of people waiting list. Now you can't fill the stadium. So waiting in the wings, ducks in a row, I don't think that's Dallas. I think you got to keep your eye on Washington. New owners, I've been told they're interested in Sean Payton. For the record, everybody's interested in Sean Payton. He's number one on everybody's list. And he's going through this process. But I think Carolina and Dallas are viewed, keep your eye on Washington. No awful contracts, need an offensive coach, waiting in the wings, ducks in a row. What does that mean? To me, it's new ownership by March. That's what it feels like to me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Let's do it today, here on Wednesday, for the Chiefs and the Bengals. Here we
Number
go.
Number 10.
Number 10, I'm going to say Joe Mixon. Last two postseasons, over 400 yards, blows every other running back, playoff running back away. He's the highest graded running back on either team. I said this yesterday, I think, during the break. He reminds me a little bit of a poor man's Adrian Peterson. He can run over you. He can run past you. He's terrific. He's got 184 more rushing yards than any other player in the postseason last 2 years. So he's a home run threat. Joe Mixon, 10.
Number 9.
Joe Tooney, the guard, arguably the best guard in the NFL, the number one PFF rated pass blocking guard. He's allowed one or fewer sacks in four of the last 5 years. Pro bowler, all pro this season. He's about the best. He had the best season for any guard this year in the NFL, Joe Tooney.
Number 8.
Trey Hendrickson, rush end for the Bengals. He's the highest graded edge rusher on either team, Chiefs or Bengals, according to PFF. Last 2 years, 25 and a half sacks. He was just a good get for them. And again, to beat Mahomes, you got to rush Mahomes. He'll be incredibly valuable in this spot.
Number 7.
T. Higgins, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's a tough matchup. He's 6'4", 220. He's just big. He's probably not as gifted as Jamar Chase, but he's a matchup nightmare. Remember when Jamar Chase got hurt, T. became their number one and was highly, highly successful. Think about this, too. Joe Burrow's passer rating when targeting T. Higgins is 113. Higher than Burrow targeting Jamar Chase. So he and T, I think a lot of it's that catching radius. He is such an easy completion with his size.
Number 6.
Creed Humphrey, probably the second or first best center in football. Highest graded center his first 2 years, him and Kelsey for the Eagles. Did not allow a sack in over 800 snaps. He was good the second he got to the NFL. I think he was a late first round pick out of Oklahoma, and he was great his first snap in the NFL. He's number 6.
Number 5.
Jamar Chase, more of a home run threat than T. Higgins. 9 touchdowns in his last 9 games, including the playoffs. He also led the NFL in catches of 50-plus yards. So he is the big home run threat in this game. And I think when you play at Kansas City, there's a big chance you're going to fall behind. Can you get quick touchdowns? He's the guy in the field that can get them.
Number 4.
Chris Jones, defensive tackle, Kansas City. Highest graded player on either team. He is an interior lineman, but last 4 years, 4-time Pro Bowler. And if there's injuries on the Bengals' O-line interior, then Jones, he'll have a good game regardless. Could be dominating. He's at 4.
Number 3.
I would give Travis Kelce 3 because he actually gets his hands on the ball and defensive tackles don't. 8-time Pro Bowler. Only Jerry Rice in league history has more playoff catches than Travis Kelce. Isn't that incredible? 120. And again, gets his hand. Last week, it was insane. I think he had 14 catches. It was I mean, it was. Tight ends never used to have 14 targets in the playoffs. He had 14 catches last week.
Number two.
You'll think it's crazy. It's Mahomes. He's not playing at 100%. So if he's 80 to 85%, yes, he's got the highest passer rating in league history. My guess is, though, he's not going to have the ability, quite the ability, to extend plays. Forget scrambling for yards. Play extension, probably not at his best.
Number one.
So I'd give it to Burrow, who, by the way, is 3-0 against Mahomes. 3-0 road playoff record. Joe is healthy. Highest completion percentage in league history. Situationally, he's as good as Mahomes, and he's healthier. So Mahomes and Burrow are obviously the best players in this game and the most important. I do not believe you can have a high ankle sprain and be 100%. I think Mahomes will gut it out, but I think you'll see fairly early in this game, Mahomes doesn't move quite as well. If he was 100%, I'd go Mahomes one and Burrow a close second, but that's where I see it right now.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult 21 and older that dips, I'm going to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo Zero pouches. Black Buffalo's Zero pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA by American farmers for adult consumers. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food-grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. Black Buffalo Zero is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Bold flavor, full pouches. Black Buffalo Zero pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly but still keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, wintergreen, peach, even blood orange, all proudly made right here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Peter Schrager, Fox Sports reporter. The Season with Peter Schrager, it's his great podcast. What'd you make of that list, first of all, Shregs? You like any of it? You dislike any of it?
I like what Jason has to say. There's a couple guys out there, Nick Bolton, Von Bell, Logan Wilson, who would make an argument and say, hey, we play defense too, you know, in this league.
Yeah, no, Bell's been a good get for them. He really has been. All right, Denver coaching search. I was told this week, listen, they've interviewed Sean Payton twice, and they like Sean Payton. But there's things to consider here. Draft capital. Russell Wilson's really expensive. O-line's a bit of a rebuild. What are you hearing on the Denver coaching search?
Yeah, the Denver deal is interesting because they were first out of the gates and everyone thought that, okay, new ownership, they're going to make some plays, they're going to go and do this thing. They're taking their sweet time. The name that emerged this week was David Shaw from Stanford. Let me explain. Greg Penner, the new owner of the Denver Broncos, the Stanford MBA. Condoleezza Rice, who is the former Secretary of State, obviously is involved in this new Denver ownership group. She also is a Stanford alum. David Shaw would be a steady hand. I've also been told, back up a second. This thing might take a bit. And there are no slam dunks. The Shaw thing makes a lot of sense when you connect the dots like your Russell Crowe in Beautiful Mind, but this is by no means David Shaw's job to lose at this point. They're taking their time. Sean Payton is still in the mix. D'Amico Ryans is still in the mix. Dan Quinn is still in the mix. David Shaw is still in the mix. But I would be surprised if Denver was the first one out of the gate out of these five coaching vacancies, which still have not been filled.
Aaron Rodgers... I feel like there were years in this relationship where Green Bay was desperate. I don't think they are now. What are you hearing?
It's interesting because when you're coming off two MVP awards in a row and you've got all the leverage and you've got the contract up in the balance, you're at a different point than when your team misses the playoffs and there's seven other teams in the NFC. And there's talk that maybe Rodgers could be a movable piece. Now, look, at the end of the day, he's going to have a huge say in that. And I look at the other teams, and the teams that keep popping up are you know, you see the Vegas connection with Devontae Adams and how they might have a void at quarterback. The Jets, how they have all that young talent, and even Rodgers was on McAfee, and he was listing some of those names. The truth of the matter is the Green Bay Packers did miss the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers, and his salary is a huge suck on this team, whether he's on the squad or not. I, to this day, would be very surprised if by week one, we're talking about a different quarterback one for the Green Bay Packers. But I do think there's a lot more validity to it this year than there was a year ago.
Mike McCarthy, you know, Jerry, I was talking to Matt Mosley yesterday, and he said Jerry can kind of disappear for about 2 to 3 weeks after a season to let everybody that, you know, Dak can take a beating a little bit. McCarthy can take a beating. Jerry's not going to defend him. He wouldn't go on his radio show. Any chance he could be replaced?
Jerry's come out every single step of the way and has given Mike McCarthy a vote of confidence. And, you know, they've won 12 games the last 2 years. They've advanced from the wild card round to the divisional round. The interesting thing is those two coordinators who are very highly respected around the league. You know, Dan Quinn is interviewing for head coaching jobs. He's in Arizona today, and he's up for that gig. He's also up for several others. And then Kellen Moore interviewed for the Carolina job yesterday. So you have these two coordinators who are viewed as rising stars, and Mike McCarthy is sort of the CEO. The only way I could see Jerry at this point pulling the plug on McCarthy is if there was some sort of decision at the top to say, we got to keep Dan Quinn. And the only way to keep Dan Quinn is to make him the head man. Colin, from everything I hear, Mike McCarthy is safe. They're not looking to make a trade for Sean Payton with the Saints at the moment. And it looks like it's going to be McCarthy and potentially another coordinator next year if Dan Quinn gets one of these jobs. But there's a good chance that with only five seats available, that Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore are right back, and so is Dak. And, hey, let's try to get to our first NFC Championship game in 28 years next season.
So I thought it was interesting that from respected reporters, there is Mike Silver, that Brock Purdy's the guy next year. And I mean, I think you had heard this and reported that there were just concerns about accuracy, Trey Lance, scarcity of games he'd played. He was really a prospect and a, you know, rough around the edges prospect. He just hadn't played much football. So the story comes out, you know, kind of Brock Purdy's the guy. Yesterday, J-Mac brought up something that was interesting. He said, what if you come back with Purdy and Garoppolo? One, you're paying nothing. One, you're getting kind of an injury discount. What do you make of the Purdy situation? Is it surprising? What's being said behind the walls?
Well, it's fascinating because right now everyone in San Francisco, and Silver's got his sources and they're great, everyone in San Francisco talking to me is like, we're not there yet. We're not even going there yet. Why would you dare go that way? Let's just focus on 1 week at a time. And it's a nice thing to live in the present and live in that pocket because everything's going great. Purdy 7-0 as a starter. Purdy can't miss. Purdy, even on that play at the end of the first half where he threw it out of bounds, like, 1 second remained,
yeah.
And it was almost like the gods were working with him to make sure that that wasn't a rookie mistake. But this is going to be a really interesting decision in the offseason. Now, Jimmy's a pure free agent. You know, that's going to be one deal. Trey Lance is going into year number three as a quarterback. He's on his rookie deal. And Purdy's going to be year two at a salary that is that is the smallest salary of any quarterback in the NFL who's going to be a QB1. So they have the luxury. They can keep Lance and Purdy. And if they want, they can even bring in a veteran third string if they want to have that veteran guy that's there. I would imagine it's going to be a true true battle in training camp. And I say that in quotes, but if Purdy keeps on winning, man, look, I'll say this. The Patriots, they were paying Drew Bledsoe the most money in the NFL in the early 2000s. Brady won them a Super Bowl. Bledsoe was on the bench. Sometimes it's just, hey, the salaries you have to throw out the door.
Yeah.
And in this case, Trey Lance, he's still in his rookie deal. It's not like he's making $100 million.
Right. All right, let's talk Bengals Chiefs. To you, what's the secret sauce to Cincinnati's success? I mean, obviously, Burrow's a special player, but what's the secret sauce?
The secret sauce is that defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. I feel like I've become a flag bearer for certain assistant coaches during these postseason runs. There are five vacancies for head coaching jobs, and there are over 25 different men who've interviewed for them. Lou Anarumo, who has been the defensive coordinator in Cincinnati the past 2 years, has gotten zero head coaching interviews this entire season. And it's one of those deals where they all just lean into it. They're like, yeah, he's disrespected, just like the rest of us. You go around this team, whether it's Trey Hendrickson not getting a deal from the Saints that's equal to what the Bengals offered, or Eli Apple discarded by multiple teams, Von Bell discarded by a team. These are a bunch of guys who feel on defense that they have been disrespected and dismissed, and their defensive coordinator is one of these masterminds. He's 3-0 against Mahomes. He's 1-0 against Josh Allen. And when you come out of halftime, you don't score on the Cincinnati Bengals. It's just not what happens. The Bills didn't do it. The Chiefs haven't done it. And I think they're the best in the league at adjustments defensively. So let Burrow, Chase, and Higgins get all the headlines. Let them do all that stuff. They have a salty, they have a tough, and they've got an East Coast defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. Who, Colin, I know you're a West Coast guy, Seattle, the whole deal. This guy's from Staten Island, New York.
Yeah.
That's a different breed of dude.
I like Staten Island. Tough people from Staten Island. Don't mess around on Staten Island. You know that, J-Mac. Finally, I said Mahomes at 80% is the second best player this weekend because I think one of his many great qualities, play extension, is he's really in a unique all-time class of just extending. It's not even scrambling. It's just extending a play and eyes downfield. He really doesn't run that much. Where are we at his injury? What's the latest?
Okay, so Andy Reid, as we're on this, Andy Reid had a press conference, said Mahomes is going to practice. So I'm not a Vegas guy by trade, but let me tell you something. That line started off with the Chiefs being favored. Then when the ankle injury became more evident, the Bengals were a 3-point favorite. With the mere news that Mahomes is able to practice, I would imagine the Chiefs would be favored again by tomorrow morning. That's how much the ankle plays into things. Now, truth of the matter is, Mahomes at 80% is better than 99% of the quarterbacks, but Burrow at 100% is pretty scary too.
Yeah.
Let's see how he practices. Let's see how he moves around in the facility. In recent years, Dwight Freeney's ankle, Gronk's ankle, these have been really important storylines going into big games. I don't think there's a bigger storyline on Sunday than Patrick Mahomes' ankle and what version we get. Chad Henne will be ready. He always is. But if you can have Mahomes out there and him better than 70%, well, then watch out. Here we go.
Yeah. Peter Schrager, by the way, a new weekly podcast, The Season with Peter Schrager. He's got a new microphone there. He's cranking.
Can we get you on, Colin? Is that allowed? Can I have you as a guest?
Yeah, I'd love to be a guest. Absolutely. That whole podcast industry is something these days. Good seeing you, buddy. Peter Schrager.
You're the man, Colin. Thanks, DJ Mac. Kick him butt.
All right. New York Times bestseller, Out of the Blue, Book on the Giants.
This is Steve Covino.
And Rich Davis.
And together, we are Covino and Rich.
Covino and Rich.
Thanks, buddy. That's right. Covino and Rich, Fox Sports Radio's newest hit show. Heard weekdays from 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every Covino and Rich show is available as a podcast. Just search Covino and Rich wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe.
I'm such a rockin' dude.
The show features our unique take on sports, injected with some fun, humor, and relatability.
Listen to Covino and Rich 5 days a week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Covino and Rich, give me a hell yeah!
Dante Whitner was on our show earlier this week, former Niner. And he was talking, there was a quote here, he thinks Brock Purdy could be the second coming of Tom Brady. I strongly disagree, and here's why. So Brady, 6'4.5", 225, drafted by a Major League Baseball team, always a very strong arm, big prototype body. And when he was coming out of high school, going to college in the mid-90s, 96-ish, I think about the time, USC and Michigan were both on him. Brock Purdy is 6'1", 215 to 220, smaller than you'd like, and a very average arm. So I think they're totally different prospects. And remember, Brady falls in the draft, but the league was not, 25 years ago, not nearly as quarterback-centric. The league is now completely driven by quarterbacks. Belichick can't get to the playoffs without a great quarterback. There are no hidden secrets. Everybody's dying to find a quarterback. You can argue they're overdrafted now. Overdrafted. And so they're totally different prospects. Brock Purdy is twitchy. He's competitive. And he's got to be somewhat smart because that offense is complex and he's a rookie and he's playing real well. But let me put Brock Purdy, let's be honest here. His left tackle, Trent Williams, Hall of Famer. George Kittle, Hall of Famer. Shanahan, probably a Hall of Famer. Running back, McCaffrey, going to get a lot of votes. And he had no touchdown passes against Dallas and an 87 passer rating. He's just not wrecking the Mercedes. Okay, don't conflate that. He is blowing away expectations, and that's really powerful in any industry. But don't conflate that with he's an elite talent. He's a 6'1", 218-pound guy with an average arm. That's what he is. He's twitchier than Garoppolo, but he doesn't have the power arm of Trey Lance. The top general managers, all of them in the league, passed on him 6 times, and all but one passed on him a 7th time. And again, I'll go back to the quarterback position now is overdrafted. We're drafting guys too often and too early. There's like Zach Wilson, number 2 pick in the draft. Trey Lance had barely played college football. We are overdrafting the position. I mean, Baker Mayfield, number 1. Really? Small, not that athletic, average arm, number 1? So, I said this the other day. I do top 10 most talented players in the games this weekend. So we did the Niners and the Eagles yesterday, and it's a who's who. It's a loaded team. So Brock Purdy was nowhere near the top 10. And when we did it and we had all the guys up here, we had Nick Bosa 1. He's going to be the defensive player of the year. Trent Williams, best left tackle in football. Jason Kelce, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown. For our radio audience that can't see the graphic, Lane Johnson's probably the best right tackle in football. Fred Warner's the best linebacker 7. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, Darius Slay. If I did the next 6, I would do Debo, probably 11. Hassan Reddick, 12. Hufanga, the safety, 13. Ward, the corner, 14. Devontae Smith, the receiver, 15. I think James Bradbury, the corner from the Giants, probably 16. And then I think Purdy's in a group of about 7 players. So let's not go crazy here. He is blowing away expectations. And that's very powerful. But Brady, 6'4 and a half, 220. Michigan and USC in the mid-90s were after him. Baseball draft, catcher, big arm. Brady's always had. I said this for years. I thought Brady, now Josh Allen has surpassed this. I thought Brady had the best cold weather arm because of his hip rotation. His ball just cut through bad weather. For years, I thought he had as good a cold weather arm as the league had. Now Josh Allen's arm now cuts through everything. So does Mahomes. So does Herbert. Kids are bigger and stronger. But I think Purdy's a great story. He's not a great quarterback. I do think he's twitchier than Garoppolo, more accurate than Trey Lance. So I don't think he's an A at anything, but I think, you know, his accuracy. Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. It's never been talked about. But like, for instance, you would think instinctively the Niners would be better with Josh Allen at quarterback. But what's interesting, if you look at the quarterbacks, that there was always a story that Shanahan liked Kirk Cousins better than RG3 because RG3 would run out of plays. If you look at the quarterback, it's very strange, counterintuitive to what the league is. Most, even Andy Reid, just give me talent and I'll figure it out. Shanahan's different. He's very much tied to his offense, his blocking schemes, and his script, is that he wanted Kirk Cousins. That was reported. He wanted Mac Jones of all the quarterbacks. Most accurate. He had success with Matt Schaub, Matt Ryan. So the Niners are, whereas Nick Sirianni loves, compares him to Jordan, the athleticism of Jalen Hurts. The Bills love it. Andy Reid does. Shanahan's unique. There's an argument that he would rather just have somebody who follows his script that can move a little. That's why he probably accepted Trey Lance. He likes somebody that can move the pocket a little, but he doesn't want a playmaker at quarterback. It doesn't work for his offense. He's not looking for that. So it's just funny. When you look at Shanahan's quarterbacks that he's worked with, there were stories very early that he and his dad were more into Cousins than RG3 after the first year because they have this legendary offense. You watch some of this video. He delivers strikes, pre-designed plays to high-end talent. I think Shanahan likes that. He doesn't want his guy running around. He doesn't want his guy completing 59% like Josh Allen and can't live up to his playbook. Now, you say to yourself, would he take Josh Allen over Brock Purdy? Well, any GM would. Of course, you'd figure it out. But it is interesting. If you look at Shanahan's history, it's a lot of Brock Purdy's. It's a lot of guys. Kirk Cousins, fourth rounder. Mac Jones was not considered as talented as Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, or Zach Wilson. And that was the one reportedly Shanahan wanted. The least talented, lowest ceiling, most accurate. So there is an argument that Purdy is a cheaper version of what he kind of wants. He probably wishes he was 6'3". He probably wishes he had more of a power arm. But Shanahan's offense, its history, this is what it looks like.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Dakovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Dakovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.